You are listening to a recorded sermon from Crescent Valley Baptist Church. We are a church that's committed to biblical preaching, missions outreach, and caring for our families. We pray that the teaching on this recording will draw you into a more committed relationship with our redeeming Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let's join in on today's sermon.
Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Ross, I like that haircut, buddy. That looks good. I'm telling you, I didn't recognize you. You came down through there a while ago. You're looking slick, bud. I like it. I'm sorry, that was my ADD. My bad. John 12. Last week we were in John 12, and I shared with you the first half of what I'm going to share today. And we kind of went underneath this idea that our time is running out, debunking this myth that I've got all the time in the world to be saved, or I've got all the time in the world, if I am saved, to really live for Jesus. And what we noticed in the text in John 12, 27 through 36 is that judgment was coming, salvation is only through the cross, and that our time with certainty is running out. We pick up our reading today in verse 37. If you found it, say amen. You feel free to do that all throughout this message. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Father, in Jesus' name, speak to us now. Amen and amen. This morning, as we look here in our passage for the day, this second part of this message of time is running out. I want to make just three very simple observations, and then we'll have a time of invitation, and then we'll turn you loose to go eat some barbecue sandwiches, just like that. I'm putting my cards on the table this morning that in a little while, we're going to have an invitation. Let me tell you what about that invitation. As we start, I'm going to call those of you who aren't secure in your salvation today to come and put your faith and trust in Jesus. That means to repent of sin. That means to put your trust, your faith in him, and confess him. I'm going to explain that a little bit, but I want you to know up front where we're headed today. I'm going to call you to trust in Christ, therefore being saved. I believe what the Bible would tell us when it says that Jesus came and died that we would know that we have eternal life. I believe that he gives the security unto an individual who's saved that can be rock solid in that fact in their heart that they are indeed saved forevermore. I believe that. As much as I believe that my name is Chad Everett Pendergraft, and I do. I saw it on my little certificate. I believe that I'm saved. Matter of fact, more than I believe that little certificate because it came from the government. I believe I'm saved. Sorry, just anyway, that was my ADD as well. But I want to make these three quick observations, and I hope they'll speak to you. The first one is I want you to notice what they spoke of here, or what John recorded, which is known as the prophecy. The prophecy. He said before he had done all these things, but although he had done so many of these signs before them, they did not believe. There's a lot of people today that would kind of speak to this and say, well, we need more miracles so that people would believe. Well, not according to the Bible. We don't need more miracles for people to believe, because if they won't believe the miracles that have already taken place over the last 2,000, actually go back probably 6,000 plus years that God has done, they're not going to believe now. And that was the story of where God's people, Israel, that we prayed for this morning, were at. They had seen God do all of these wondrous things, such as take them across the dry Red Sea, because God parted it from side to side so they were escaping from the Egyptians. So as whenever they came up against the flooded Jordan River, God once again, he parted that river, which some would estimate to be up to a mile wide during flood stage, and they yet walked across on dry ground. God took them through a desert for 40 years, and he fed them manna that fell from heaven. He even, because they complained about it, you imagine that he fed them quail. And I don't know if there's any quail eaters out there this morning, but I'm flat telling you that's something that is delightful. Some quail gravy and some, come on, amen. Amen. He took care of his people, y'all. They had manna and quail. He brought water out of a rock. Now, by the way, I'm not talking about a family of four getting a discount here. I'm talking about over a million people that God, through a rock, brought out water over and over and over. This miracle-working God is telling them, if you'll trust me, I'll take care of you. Yeah. Oh, amen. Come on. Yeah, I ain't y'all used to y'all being awake, and amen, this is good. I like this. But now listen to me. Yet God tells us that they were a stiff-necked people. He would bring them to his side. He would pour out his abundance. He would pour out his blessing, and they would love him and love him for it. But over time, what happens is they begin to drift and they begin to wander into their own way, telling God, hey, it's so good here, we're not sure we even need you to show up this afternoon. It's kind of the same danger you and I run in whenever we come to church week after week. There's times we come in desperate, right? There's times we come and say, oh, I need a word, a fresh word from God today. And I'm telling you, when you come needing it, you come seeking it, you find it. But there's also times, man, life's been good. Amen. Your wife cooked just right this week, and your husband was just sweet this week. The kids were obeying and even non-feral this week. And life's just been good. You got a raise this week and the car didn't break down. Everything's just been good. There's a danger in it that we come to the house of God, lose our desperation and say to him, we're not sure we need you to show up. That's God's people as long as there's been a people. He said they were a stiff-necked people. He said that the word of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled. He said, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now, what's he saying? Who's God been good to? Who's God given his best to? He said, therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said he's blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts that they should not see with their eyes. What's happening here? I think it's the same thing in a in a big way of what happens to a lot of folks sitting in church. You've denied the Lord what he's asked of you, and it was really hard in the beginning, but if you deny him enough, what happens is it gets pretty easy. What happens is it becomes this, what theologians would call a judicial blindness to the truth of the gospel, to the power of the gospel. That it once was not such an easy thing to just kind of tune God out, but it certainly is today. Why I've been doing it a long time. Listen to me, it's a dangerous thing to take the truth and the power of God lightly, because if you're not careful, you will miss your opportunity to be saved. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? You will miss your opportunity to be saved. This is why it's important we understand time is not on our side. Time is running out. You denied him last week. You didn't answer to him last week. And it's like, oh, it's not that big a deal. I'll have this week. If you're not careful, you'll do it again. And listen to me, ma'am or sir, time will run out and you'll look back on these times where you've rejected the Lord and wish you would have heeded the voice of God and repented. The second observation I want you to notice in the text is a group that I've called the praise seekers. Look in verse 42. If you're there with me, say, uh-huh. It says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of man more than they love the praise of God. Whew. That one hit me hard this week. I'm studying this and I'm going, oh my. So I'm glad, Lord, we've perfected that, and only the Israelites would do such a thing. They love the praise of man more than they love the praise of God. Boy, talk about speaking into an American culture of churches that are filled with people that have their name on a list, a roll, a roster of church membership all across our country, ours not excluded. They show up from time to time. Matter of fact, they say that the average church member will attend church, I believe it's 1.4 times a month now. Y'all didn't hear what I said. They say the average church member will attend church an average of 1.4 times a month. They're there. They're present. If you were to stop them and ask them, hey, do you go to church anymore? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I go out there at that church out there on the hill, Crescent Valley. By the way, I love this. Whenever I'm out sharing the gospel and somebody tells me that I've never seen. First question, what do you think of the pastor? Amen. He's a handsome sucker, isn't he? Amen. Golly, he's good looking. Their name's on the roll, but now won't you hear me? They've contributed absolutely nothing to the kingdom of God. They're not serving him. They're not confessing him. They may confess the church, but they're not confessing the Christ. Now, I want you to hear me, dear friends. I'm not fussing with you. I love you way too much to do that, but I also love you way too much to sugarcoat this. You'll go to hell confessing the church. You'll go to heaven confessing Christ. The church will not save you. And I'm a churchman, by the way. I love the local church. My daddy taught me that. I got that from him. I believe that God's plan A without any plan B or following is the local church to get the gospel to the ends of the world. I believe that. I believe the local church, y'all should have said amen right there. The local church is the bride of Christ. And if it be the bride of Christ, that means he's the wife of Christ. Can I tell you, he loves his sweetie. Y'all picking up what I'm throwing down? He loves his bride like a man ought to love his wife. I believe in the local church. I love the local church, and I love this local church. But I want you to hear me. There's no saving power that I can give you. There's no saving power that us collectively we can give to you. Your salvation will come from Jesus and Jesus alone. What they were trusting in here was they were trusting in, if I can stay in good with the hot shots, somehow I'm going to be okay. It said they believe. Some of you will be in that same category. Oh, I believe. Amen. Bless God. You ask me, hey, how's a man get saved? Well, it's Jesus. Amen. You believe, but you won't confess. And by the way, confession, by the way, is bigger than just saying some words. Please hear that. Let me do something. I don't normally take you on a journey, but let me go over to the book of Romans. I want you to hear this. The book of Romans, chapter something, chapter 10, it says this in verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Did you catch that? He didn't say you would confess the infant baby Jesus. He said that you would confess the Lord Jesus. And to confess the Lord Jesus means he's Lord of my life, not just he ought to be Lord of your life. He's Lord of my life. Well, what does Lord mean, preacher? Thanks for bringing it up. That simply means he's the boss of my life. That means it's his agenda and no longer mine. That means I live for his mission and his purpose and no longer mine. It's not my life anymore. It's his life. I was bought. I was purchased. I was paid for. My life now belongs to the master. Church, hear me. The church can't do this for you. Only, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. Now listen, he goes on further. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will, oh, that's so good, not be put to shame. Will not be put to shame. You guys remember, Ricky said this a few weeks ago whenever he was preaching here. He said, one of the surefire ways that you know that you're a Christian, that you're saved, is you will not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be scared. You might be nervous. And I've told you, you know my story. Greatest phobia of my life was public speaking. Doesn't God have a sense of humor? I'm flat telling you, it was crippling to me. I couldn't think of anything scarier. I'd rather wrestle a basket full of water moccasins than to stand up in front of a people and talk. I'd rather whip 10 men than to stand up in front of people and talk. But it wasn't because I was ashamed. Because I'll tell you what God had done in my heart after I whipped those 10 men. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. One-on-one. Y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? When he comes into your heart and your life, he's more than just a co-pilot. He's more than just a traveling buddy. He's more than the big man upstairs. He's more than your homie. He is the Lord. Listen, the Lord, period, Jesus Christ. They were praise seekers. They loved the praise that they got from others. There's a lot of folks in church that love that same praise. All their good folks, they go up at that church every day or every week. All their good folks, I'm telling you, you know where to find them on Sunday up there at that church. All their good folks, they even wore a T-shirt that had the church's logo on it. All their good folks, we love that. You start a business, it's amazing. Folks will start a business and get spiritual all of a sudden. Contacts is what they say that is. You come up, get contacts up at the church. Tell them about your business. Maybe they'll promote it. Oh, it's wonderful. Good people. They go up there at that church. By our definition of good, good people will go to hell. Y'all hearing me? Good people will go to hell. Now, God's definition of good, no, they won't go to hell because God's definition of good is holy. Only holy people go to heaven. Only perfect people go to heaven. If you are a sinner, you're not going to heaven. You say, oh gosh, preacher, you just sent us all to hell. No. Your sin is sending you to hell. That's why we needed a Savior to come. And when he came, he didn't die because he was bad. He died because you and I were sinners. He hung upon a bloody cross because you and I had sinned. And he took the wrath of God that was coming for your sin, coming for mine. He drank it all and said, it is finished. He completed the task, the mission that his Father had sent him on. And he paid for your sin and he paid for mine. And then he did this. Oh, this is fun. The banking term, he imputed, he deposited righteousness into your account. I don't know if you've ever had anybody to do something like this, but if you got a bank account, you ever been to your bank account and looked in there and go, who did that? And I'm not talking about you or her spent money you shouldn't have. I'm talking about somebody put money in there. I've had it happen before. Looked at my account and I go, that ain't my money. No, that ain't my money. Somebody put it, they imputed something for you. Hey, it wasn't because you earned it. It wasn't because you're good. You know you're not. They imputed it. Listen to me. All you have in your spiritual checking, the Bible says it's filthy rags. That's it. You ain't got nothing else to give him. Your church work ain't going to help. Your philanthropic work in the community, it ain't going to help. You're being kind to your neighbors, that's not going to help. You serving on a committee at the church, that ain't going to help. You singing praise to the Lord, it ain't going to help. You being on the band, that ain't going to help. You being a teacher, that ain't going to help. Because Jesus said, you take all that together and pile it up. Put it in your account. Let's look at it. Let's examine. Yep, just as I thought, filthy rags. When Jesus died, he took those filthy rags. Oh, this is good. See, I know what I'm going to say. He took those filthy rags and he deposited in there for you the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now when the Father looks at you, he doesn't see you all nasty and smelly and stanky and just rotten to the core. He sees you through the lenses of how he sees his own son, Jesus Christ. Bobby Christie, that's good news. Praise seekers. They didn't care about the praise of God. They cared about the praise of man. Don't you hear me? It may not mean anything to you now. But there's coming a day, according to the Word of God, that the praise of God's own thing's going to matter. Time's running out. Last thing I want you to notice here in the text is the promise. We saw the prophecy. Isaiah had prophesied that God's people would turn and he'd harden their hearts. They had opportunity to be saved, but they gave it up. And so therefore they got to a place that they couldn't even believe any longer because their hearts were hard. We saw the praise seekers that were so interested in the pat on the back rather than the new heart that was offered. Lastly, as a promise in verse 44, then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but him who sent me. What he's saying here is the Father and I are one. I didn't just come on a mission because I got sick of heaven, thought I'd run down to earth for a while. He said, no, I'm on a mission sent here by my Father. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. He's saying we are one. This flies in the face of those that would say, well, Jesus was a good old boy, but he sure wasn't God. Well, not according to the New Testament. He's saying if you saw me, you saw the Father. If you saw the Father, you saw the Son. Why? We are one. I've come as a light into the world that he or whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. He's not talking about sinless perfection anymore. He's saying abide in that. You've no longer chosen a life of sin. You've chosen a life that would honor and glorify your Lord and Savior. Now, if anyone hears my words and he does not believe, he said, I don't judge him, for I didn't come in the world to judge, but I came in the world to save. Again, coming back to his mission. I'm thankful for that. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. He came to die for the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words, this is important. He has that which judges him. Well, what is it? What do we have that judges? He said, it's the word that I've spoken to you. I want you to hear me this morning. My love for you goes further than my fear of you. Being upset with me for telling you the truth. There's some of you in here this morning, and I don't know who it is, but you know who you are. You know that this is the category you're living in. He said you shouldn't abide in darkness any longer. Yet that's the life you've chosen. You're here this morning, and man, praise God for that. You're hearing the word of God. There's coming a time if you don't repent, if you don't trust in Jesus, you no longer will hear the word of God. It might be preached all around you, but you're not going to hear it any longer. It's not going to penetrate your heart any longer. You're no longer going to have conviction. But what you're going to experience is you're going to one day experience condemnation. And here's what you're going to hear. You're going to hear the very words that this pastor spoke to you this morning from the word of God that says, Jesus didn't come to judge, but the words he's spoken have judged you already. I read this and we're done. I know that his command, listen to me, his command is everlasting life. Therefore, what I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. What is the promise you speak of? It's just that. It's everlasting life. That if you'll trust him, it's everlasting life. Well, how do I trust him? You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. Now, I'm not talking about getting up here and singing a solo. I'm not talking about getting up here and preaching a sermon. I'm talking about exactly what the Word of God says, that you would believe in your heart. By the way, to believe in your heart, why heart? Because it's the seat of emotions. That it gets all of you. It gets everything in you, that your whole and your total being. I'm believing that he came to die for me. I'm confessing with my mouth. Why? The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You find somebody that's in love with Jesus, and I'm flat telling you, you can't keep them quiet about him. They're going to bring him up. He's coming up in conversation. Here's the question today. Are you one of these praise seekers? Are you one of those who just kind of try and skirt by on being a good guy, good gal? Is this talking about you this morning? Are you the one that needs to be saved? You say, well, what are people going to think? I don't know. Here's what I think will happen. I think this morning you give your heart and life to Jesus. I think this church is going to party like it's the day of Pentecost. I think we're going to celebrate. I think we're going to cheer you on. I think we're going to have a big time. I can't predict it, but I think that's what will happen. Can I tell you, though, that's not your concern. Your concern is, what if you can't hear him tomorrow? What if you can't hear him next Sunday? What if it's your last opportunity to be saved? Here's what I'm praying. I'm praying that the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God that convicted me tomorrow, matter of fact, is this the 14th? Is that right? Yeah, tomorrow's my spiritual birthday. 1998 on April the 15th. Yeah, isn't that a good thing? Your pastor's saved. Amen? Your pastor's saved. On April the 15th that night, I'm telling you, the conviction of the Spirit of God so came down heavy on my heart. I had to do something. That's what I'm praying for you. And the second prayer that I'm praying is what my mama and my dad and my sweet bride prayed for me in succession, each one of them. God, give him the faith that he needs tonight to trust in you. And that night I did. And I'm telling you, I've never nor will I ever be the same again.
Thanks for listening today. I'd like to take this opportunity to let you know that the most important decision you will ever make is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And that's something that you can do right now wherever you are by asking Christ to forgive you of your sin and to come into your heart and life and to be your Lord and Savior. The Bible says that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
If this recording or anything else has brought up questions for you about a relationship with Jesus, feel free to contact us at 918-456-6590 or find us online at cvbc.org. God bless you and have a great day.